Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. And today, Tim, we're talking about this new sort of phenomenon, which is the danger of single sport athletes. And it actually all comes as a result of something that you've been noticing, really a shift that's gone on in the last few years that I think we should talk about.
Well, Andrew, the reason we're focusing on building skills in the next generation is because we believe the future all lies in the next generation.
Yeah.
But we have noticed what we got to do is work with the adults who lead them, the coaches, the teachers, the employers, the parents.
Yes.
And so there's been a shift in the adults of this generation. And here's what it is in a nutshell. When the millennials were growing up in the 80s and 90s, in their youngest years, we began to see participation trophies and ribbons just for showing up on the team.
Yep, I got a few of those.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So the trophies and ribbons are all over the bedroom. Well, as the millennials became the parents, they began to see that, well, that's not really good. And we began to see that's not really working. But it feels like the pendulum has swung to the other extreme.
Yes.
Now we're absolutely intensely focused on getting our son to not just participate, to be the best soccer player, the best strong forward, the best third baseman, whatever it is. And now it's not just about participation. It's about absolute competition and being the very best. Now, a healthy dose of that at 10 years old is okay. But we're seeing real big doses of it's way too early for
at
this.
Earlier and earlier ages, I think, is one of the significant parts of this. You know, I just read a New York Times article. It came out last year, but I just saw it about the decline of youth soccer. So youth soccer is one of those places where I got my trophies for showing up. What they found is over the last 3 years, youth soccer has declined by 14%.
Wow.
And that's both, that's both in recreational and in that travel, highly competitive. Mm-hmm. And when they did the research and the surveys, here's what they found. The two main reasons. Number one was kids getting burned out early. So my parents pushed me into this really competitive thing. I'm not as good as the other kids, so I'm done with this. The second thing is, as we've created more and more competition, it's gotten so expensive for kids to be a part of these programs that it's actually too overwhelming for their parents, and they can't keep up with it. In fact, they interviewed members of the U.S. women's national team, and what they said is, it is so expensive to be a child soccer player in America that if I was growing up today, my parents wouldn't have been able to afford it.
Interesting.
So in other words, there's probably young people who are talented enough to make it to the highest levels who are not getting that opportunity because we're pushing them into this competitive new thing way too fast.
So this obviously is not healthy. I hope every listener listening in right now would realize competition can be really good. It makes me perform at my best. But when it's too much, too young, it's just ridiculous. And we are the culprits.
Yeah.
Andrew, this past summer, 2019, I remember watching a video of a story that broke in Colorado. It was a little league baseball team. These were 7-year-old children playing baseball.
Yeah.
The umpire was 13 years old. So a middle school student was the umpire. But that's, he's making some extra money.
It's what it is. Yeah.
That's right. But the parents went crazy over a call that this umpire had made, a missed call.
Yeah, which happens when you're in middle school, maybe.
I mean, the stands emptied out. It wasn't a verbal. It was a physical fight that broke out on the field. In fact, the children ran in terror from their own parents, men and women. Mm. Men and women. I saw a woman get knocked down, slugging. I saw a guy lying on the ground. Somebody else was trying to protect him. But this is a fist fight. And let me give you the context again. Let me just remind you. This is not World War III with some, you know, Persian Gulf crisis.
Whatever. Yeah.
This is a Little League baseball game that now somehow we have thought this deserves all of my violent reaction.
Yeah.
So something's wrong with sports in America. And if you care about sports, I'm hoping to God you say, I want to be a part of the solution to this thing that's going on.
Well, I think this is something we've all seen. I'm sure many of the people who are listening right now saw that video because it went viral.
Yeah.
I just wonder what's happening to our kids as a result of this. What's happening to our culture, our sports culture in America because of this? And I know you've been reading about that.
Absolutely. Well, part of our obsession with athletic improvement, which is really what we're talking about, is actually backfiring.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Parents are pushing their child to focus on a single sport earlier and earlier in life. Gone are the days, that I remember anyway, of pickup basketball games or free play time or choosing up sides and playing baseball in the back ball field.
Yes.
You know, where you're on your own and it's just kind of easy going. And you do play. You might play three sports in one afternoon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, now it's supervised, one sport, this and that.
Yeah.
So parents and kids are on a schedule and a plan, and this has actually led kids to both getting injured and burning out. So the result, to answer your question, faster injury and burnout coming sooner in middle school.
Wow.
Middle school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I know that another fascinating thing about this, and one of the reasons it's getting more and more popular, is it sounded like there's a lot of research that's coming out about this, too. Yeah. Talk about some of that that you've seen.
Well, new research from two studies that were actually recently presented at the 2018 annual meeting of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, the AAOS, demonstrated the substantial psychosocial effect of what we're talking about on children. So they're even saying, and by the way, they're working with athletes, so this is a good thing. Athletics is good. But they would say, while outdoor play is really healthy and you want them to be active, this intense focus, which sounds good, is actually really hindering their child's sports experience and their development. Let me just read some numbers to you. Parents can have this negative effect. 54.7% of parents encourage their children to specialize on a single sport in childhood. So that's more than half.
Wow.
I don't think I was asked to specialize. Well, I was never asked to specialize. Yeah,
I wasn't good enough to be asked to specialize. So maybe we're the two wrong people to give advice on that.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so what they're finding now is the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons is finding injuries are happening faster and faster, and we're going to illustrate that a little bit when we talk about the NBA in just a minute.
Yeah.
But they're having injuries faster, and I talked to a teenager recently, Andrew, where he got injured and had to stop playing in his final year, senior year of high school. He played club sports, and he'd also played in school. But I said, was it hard? Was it difficult to quit? And he said, it was for my parents. Huh. But this is my ticket out. I'm free now. Isn't that? He talked about it like it was a prison.
Wow.
Now, I realize that's not everywhere, but just listen with, I want that to ring in your ears, listeners. This kid was actually quietly, like the when the Wicked Witch of the West is finally, you know, liquidated, and they're singing "Ding Dong."
Sense of relief. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
absolutely. So that was a mouthful. So let me give you a real quick quote that might be helpful. So again, once again, from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, they say sports specialization in youth is defined as an engaging in a sport for at least three seasons a year at the exclusion of other sports. And early sports specialization occurs in children under the age of 12. So that's their definition, okay, in case you're wondering what that means. Although physical activity is beneficial for overall health, sports specialization can increase the risk of injury and burnout and decrease enjoyment due to excessive training.
Hmm.
It also decreases an athlete's ability to cross-train and gain physical benefits from other sports.
That's so true.
So they're the doctors talking, and I'm just saying, is this what we want for our kids? My guess is, A, if you're a parent, you would go, well, no, I want my kid to be happy.
Yeah.
Maybe more than my happiness, I would hope. And I think sometimes, Andrew, it's our own happiness that's being satisfied when our son plays well at second base or strong forward or fullback or whatever. And I think we need to be thinking, what about them? Is their enjoyment level gone?
Yeah.
I used to ask my kids this when they were growing, and neither one of them were going to play pro sports, but I said, are you still enjoying it, Jonathan? Are you still enjoying it, Bethany? And if they said yes, we keep going. But if they said no, I said, well, let's finish out this season and you can stop.
Yeah.
And that seemed to be a healthy reliever of their tension, thinking, oh God, is my dad wanting me to go on with this? And I hate it.
Yeah.
So that was just key.
That's so important. That's so important. Well, we keep hearing this phrase over and over And it's fascinating because I think it's the perfect example of what we've been talking about. Yeah. And is the phrase ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
In fact, several coaches and trainers and all those folks have actually described kids today, athletes today, single sport athletes especially, as ticking time bombs. What does that mean? Define that for us.
Yeah. Well, one of the examples of what you just said was the Los Angeles Lakers head strength and conditioning coach, Tim DeFrancesco. So he's looking at these young players just coming into the league from school, usually.
Yeah.
And he's saying they're ticking time bombs. And he said, I understand I shouldn't use a broad brush to criticize the entire AAU system, club sports, because they're all parts of it are really excellent. But he goes on to say, but also parts of it are absolutely unhealthy. They're very broken. And it relates to the injuries that are happening in rookie players that usually didn't happen, Andrew, until third and fourth and fifth year in.
Yeah, which is
wild. So why are they happening earlier? Because they started earlier, and they were playing like an NBA player at 12 years old or 13 years old.
Training at least like one.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. And so I know we need to be thinking of brain development. Is our brain really designed to work that intensely at 12? Probably not. In fact, they probably still need to be a kid. And just goof off a little bit, and maybe I wonder if we see them acting childish when they're 29, because they couldn't act childish when they were 9.
Yeah,
we had them in some program, just drilling them on this single sport.
Yes, and there's a great loss to that, I think, too.
Yeah,
more often than not, you know, if you play basketball all the time, it's working a series of muscles that basketball works, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You're not getting the opportunity to develop muscles that maybe, you know, a pickup game of football or a pickup game of soccer or whatever else might actually work. And so we're really over-specializing kids at younger ages and only working out certain muscle groups. And then because of that, we're overworking those muscle groups and making them more prone to injury.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a double-edged sword. Right? My kid is specialized early in age, but at the same time, they're also developing these injury-prone problems earlier and earlier. Yeah. So we just got to watch out for this.
It's a great example you give. Now, I know what some listeners might be thinking. They might be thinking, well, if we're actually going to perform well, whatever level, don't we have to be focused? Or you know, that sort of thing. So the answer is no. The answer is no. I am for focus. We believe in rivers and floods. That's one of our habitudes.
Yeah.
A flood is not focused. A river is focused. But let me just illustrate a couple. So countries in Europe have gotten this right. For instance, the Netherlands, by contrast to what we're doing, doesn't encourage kids to focus on one sport until their late teenage years, when they're really ready to say, I'm ready to make a decision on something.
Huh.
And guess what? They've done quite well on the world stage, finishing 5th in medals at the last Winter Olympic Games and going all the way to the finals in the Women's World Cup.
Yes.
Now, here's another one. This is even cooler. Norway has actually adopted regulations, Andrew, to limit coaches working with kids prior to their teenage years. And Norway finished 1st in medals at the last Winter Olympic Games. Now, they're winter sports because they're Norway.
But of course.
All I'm saying is, focusing at 8, 10, 12 years old is not the answer to make them better. In fact, it may be the answer to make them worse.
Yeah.
So if you care about their performance, you might want to back off at younger ages.
That is so good for advice for us as we're thinking about how to lead our kids well. Well, I want to get to some practical advice. Yeah. How do we actually respond to this? So I know you've got a few ideas that you can lead us through, and then we'll kind of close out.
So these are really four common sense ideas, but we want every podcast to be practical. So let me just give you four ideas to noodle on and maybe practice with your own kids if you're a parent, or to pass on to someone else. If that would be relevant to them.
Yeah.
So number one, I would say, here's my advice, push them to play hard for sure, but to be well-rounded through 16 years old, especially.
Okay. Yeah.
So at least the first 16 years, at least that many years, go for well-roundedness.
Yeah.
At least two sports, softball and track
or
you know, football and spring track and field or whatever, you know, that sort of thing. So that's number one. Number two, encourage them to be two-sport athletes even after they focus their skills.
Okay.
I just think that's important because the brain needs something besides one thing to think about.
Yeah.
Okay. Number three, help them to limit phone time to 2 hours daily and to get out and socialize. So this has nothing to do with sports. This has to do with anxiety.
Yes.
Part of the anxiety is we've got this portable device in our hand that Andrew, you and I often talk about.
Yes.
But part of the dilemma is when I'm not playing, I'm on my phone.
Yes.
In fact, playing time is the only time I'm not on my phone. And I just think we need to say limit it to 2 hours. That's when we know the anxiety levels drop is under 2 hours. And just face-to-face socialize.
Yeah.
We just think that's going to be a reliever.
I'm moving from overwhelmed because I'm playing my sport too much to overwhelmed because this device is overwhelming me. And there's no mental break there.
Absolutely.
Even if there's a physical break, there's not a mental one.
Yeah, great. Great way to put it. And then number four, equip them to excel at one other skill or hobby minimally through college.
I love that.
So they've got their strength area, but then they got this other area. So when I was in college, I began to really focus on my major, but I had moved to a minor in art and still did editorial cartoons for newspapers. It was a fun outlet. In fact, I still love artwork as an outlet, even though I don't employ it in my job that pays me money. It's been such a great reliever for me of my brain just getting going south because I focused on one thing too long.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, I want to reread these four and then offer a fifth one if I could. Push them to play hard, but to be well-rounded at least through 16 years of age. Encourage them to be two-sport athletes even after they start to focus those skills. Yeah. Help them limit that phone time to at least 2 hours or under 2 hours per day. That comes from research that we've been reading about how long to spend on your device. And equip them to excel at one other skill or hobby, something outside of their sport, even up through college. Yeah. And then the last one I would throw in there is we just finished a brand-new book called Generation Z Unfiltered.
Yes.
And this, as a part of the 9 challenges that we put into that book that we think we're going to face in leading this generation, we talk all about this, how to hand over ownership of their lives over to them. And I think that's another key piece of this is if they really want to succeed, they've got to be able to make some of these choices themselves, figure out what they enjoy, and lean into the things that they want to lean into. So if that's a book that you're interested in picking up, GenerationZUnfiltered.com is where you can get it.
Andrew, you know this. We worked on this together. It's the most solution-based book we've ever produced.
Yeah.
So we've got research in it. It's research-based, but I love the fact that we purposely went after solution biased.
Yes.
So after every challenge, we got the solution, and we offer some practical steps in that book. So again, this is not a sales pitch, but if you're facing this dilemma right now, this might be a great resource. Generation Z Unfiltered is the name of the book, and it's available now.
That's great.
So let me read something from Dr. Charles Popkin from Columbia University. He addresses this very issue, and he summarizes it really well. He says, culturally, we have found that parents have unrealistic expectations for their children to play collegiately or professionally, and as a result, they invest in private lessons, trainers, or personal coaches to help their kids. When you're investing this amount of time and resources, there can be an unwritten, indirect pressure from parents to specialize and probably overdo it. Again, it's that kid that goes, this is my ticket out. I got injured.
Yeah.
And the parents mourning the loss.
Yeah.
So we just got to be smarter leaders in our kids' lives if they're going to become the best version of themselves.
Yeah. And you know what's so fascinating about this is at the same time as parents and the system is forcing specialization either to earn that college scholarship or to, you know, hey, this is, you know, success in the sport is your ticket to money and fame and fortune and all those things. At the same time, when we talk to coaches, they're telling us a different message.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could talk about that.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting. We work with a number of Division I athletic programs across the country from East Coast to West Coast. We fall in love with the great people that often are there leading these programs. But Andrew, I'm meeting more and more Division I coaches. I mean, this is Power 5 conferences.
Highest level,
that are saying, I'm recruiting two-sport athletes now. Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting.
And when I ask why, I already know, but they say, oh, I get a much more well-rounded person on my team.
Yep.
I get a more sound person mentally. They're sound. They're not stressed out all the time.
Yep.
And it was actually by being a little more well-rounded in their experience and not just focusing on one.
There's not a single definition of who they are. They're a little bit more spread out.
Yeah.
They typically make better leaders, too. I've heard coaches tell me
about
before.
It. Yeah.
So
yeah.
fascinating difference.
Well, and I would add one more thing. You want the parents, listen to me. You want their sense of identity to be drawn from something that can't be taken away. Sports will be taken away. It will be.
Yep.
They will stop playing at some point. I mean, Tom Brady is 40, whatever, but he's an anomaly, okay?
Yes, yeah. And he's still eventually going to have to be something other than a football player. So
we always advocate, help your kids to put their identity in something that cannot be taken away. Yeah. Sports can be great, and they can excel at it.
Yes.
But, boy, we want them to be strong people, not just strong athletes, because people is what lasts.
I love that. Well, Tim, thank you so much for leading us through this conversation. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of wisdom here. We're in a cultural moment where I think parents and leaders and coaches have to make some good decisions.
Yes.
Because I think we're at risk of pushing our kids too hard if we're not thinking about this issue. So thank you so much for your wisdom on this. We already talked about it, but if you're interested in picking up our latest book, Generation Z Unfiltered, I really do believe it's a really great resource that could be helpful for you. Again, the website for that is generationzunfiltered.com. You can learn more about it there. There's also some free resources around the book that you might want to pick up that I think you'll enjoy. As always, if you would do us a favor and rate this podcast, that helps us out so much. So hop on iTunes, give us 5 stars. That gets the word out about this podcast and what we're doing here. We love connecting with you on social media, so follow us there. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore. You can connect with us on there. We love doing that. And then as always, if you've got suggestions for things we could talk about on this podcast, people you think we should interview, whatever it is, shoot us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those and hearing from you. Again, Tim, thank you for your wisdom on this conversation. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.